at Catholic Healthcare.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Presta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
A good Catholic is a faithful citizen.
Make America great again!
What's more important here is not saving the country, it's saving your soul.
It's a bold strategy.
Let's see if it pays off for us.
Trust in the media has hit its lowest point.
I want the truth!
What is truth?
The age of the passive layperson can't go on.
It's our job to share that love of Christ with these people.
This is an excellent mission, sir, with an extremely valuable objective.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Al, this is an excellent program.
You have a wonderful show.
I love listening to my car.
That's a great question to start off with.
You are in for a show tonight.
Here we go again.
Good afternoon, and guess what? On this Feast of the Immaculate Conception, that's our topic. We're going to spend time taking a look at the biblical basis for the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. And, of course, we'll go beyond that to the history of church teaching. But we want to spend time in this hour focusing on the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. How did Mary become the Mother of God? That's really what this comes down to. What action did it take? What had to be done in order to secure this pure vessel for the emplacement of the Word of God? I'll be spending time talking about the Immaculate Conception. It's one of the great teachings of the Catholic Church, and also one of those teachings which is on the face of it, is repugnant to many non-Catholics. I thought so, while I was outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church. And actually, once this doctrine, this dogma, became plausible to me, so many of the other pieces of the Catholic faith fell together. And I thought, oh, yes, I get it. So to me, this is a great doctrine and dogma. First, let's get to some of those news headlines.
Thank you, Al, and good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, December 8th. It is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And today's news is brought to you by Charity Mobile, supporting pro-life and Catholic causes at charitymobile.com. The Los Angeles Fire Department will begin using a drone over Southern California wildfires. Chief Ralph Terrazas says it'll be the first time the department has used the unmanned aircraft in fighting fires.
The drone will fly over, locate hot spots, and then we'll dispatch our firefighters to put final extinguishment in that area.
United Parcel Service is warning shoppers of holiday delivery delays at the start of the season. A UPS spokesman said it rented more trucks and employees are working extra hours this week. The company is working to clear a backlog of Black Friday and Cyber Monday orders. It also suggests allowing an extra day or two for delivery. UPS is the contract carrier for major retailers including Walmart, Macy's, and Amazon. Bipartisan legislation is introduced to give veterans the same preventive health insurance coverage as the general public. Elisa Z explains.
The Veterans Preventive Health Coverage Fairness Act would mean that a lot of veterans will no longer have to pay out-of-pocket costs for preventive health and preventive medications that are already free for a lot of Americans. According to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, this legislation would impact many of the over 230,000 veterans enrolled in the VA healthcare system. Alisa Z, NBC News Radio.
Turkey's president is making a landmark visit to neighboring Greece. The two countries are NATO allies, but tensions between the two date back centuries. Kevin Osbeck has more from Brussels.
President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's visit to Athens on Thursday will mark the first time a Turkish head of state has visited Greece in 65 years. Security in the Greek capital for his arrival will be extra tight. Nearly 3,000 Greek police officers will be on patrol. Ties between the EU and Ankara have been especially shaky since President Erdogan has cracked down on journalists and civil servants after a botched coup last year. Kevin Osbeck, Brussels.
And it's been more than a month since the deadly Sutherland Springs, Texas church shooting. A gunman killed 26 people at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs on November 5th. Despite his 14-year-old daughter being killed in the massacre, Pastor Frank Pomeroy told CNN his faith is stronger than ever. He said if he gives up the mission now, it means the victims died in vain. Pomeroy said this is the time that God has been preparing him for over 15 years as a pastor. His wife, Sherry, said they have to keep moving forward, as other members of the church are doing, and said some of them have lost more in the shooting. And now with your fascinating fact for the day. Some early Antarctic explorers thought penguins were fish. Filling in for Nick Tom, I'm Dan McGraw with your Ave Maria Radio News.
Listening to Cresta in the Afternoon. Now back to Al's special presentation on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Why do Catholics make so much of Mary? That's one of the things that bothered me a great deal before I was a Catholic. It's an easy thing to answer. Catholics make so much of Mary because of one thing, actually one person, Jesus. That's why Mary is so important to the Catholic faith. What the Catholic faith believes about Mary is based on what it believes about Christ. And what it teaches about Mary illumines, in turn, its faith in Christ. Mary's role in the Church is inseparable from her union with Christ and flows directly from it. Jaroslav Pelikan, one of the great historians of doctrine, gives us a little more academic twist to it. In its fundamental motifs, the development of the Christian picture of Mary and the eventual emergence of a Christian doctrine of Mary must be seen in the context of the development of devotion to Christ and, of course, of the development of the doctrine of Christ. For it mattered a great deal for Christology whether or not one had the right to call Mary Theotokos, or Mother of God. It was a way of speaking about Christ at least as much as a way of speaking about Mary. There's a little story that I think Father McBride tells of a Catholic boy who was waxing enthusiastic with his university professor about the Mother of God. And, you know, the professor, in a rather condescending way, tried to disarm the boy's enthusiasm by saying, well, look, there's no difference between her, that is Mary, and my mother. And the boy says, well, you may think so, but let me tell you, there's an enormous difference between the sons. And that's another way of driving home the point that why Catholics are concerned so much about the Blessed Virgin Mary is because of Jesus. In short, Catholics make so much of Mary because we make so much of the divine person that she conceived, bore, taught, nurtured, raised, proclaimed, and for whom she suffered tremendous grief and loss as a mother would at the death of a child. So when you think about it, all the patriarchs, all the apostles, all the kings, all the evangelists, all the martyrs, all the fathers, all the doctors of the church, all the priests and all the bishops bear witness to the Word. Mary literally bore the Word. So we call her special. She's in a class by herself among creatures. All generations will call her blessed. Blessed are you among women. It's a very interesting phrase. It is to say, I don't know, if I said Tiger Woods, you might say Mr. Golf, right? He embodies in himself all that golfness is about. Well, we say of Mary, she is blessed among women, and the phrase actually contains with it more than the idea that she was simply blessed. It means that among women, she is the prototypical, the ideal, the exemplary woman. She is womanness. So our appreciation of Mary is derived directly from our appreciation of her Son. If we worship the Son, we're going to honor the Mother. And this means thinking upon the Blessed Virgin. Over the last century, nobody's done more of that, I think, than, say, Maximilian Kolbe. He has said that men in the next century would arise who would study and understand much better the Immaculate Conception. He saw that the primary grace that had been given to Mary was something like a fertilizing sperm cell at the beginning of a new human being, and that there was going to be a lot that grew from that fertilized sperm cell, that the dogma of the Immaculate Conception was in some ways, in its raw statement, just the beginning, just the bare bones, just the pattern. Pius XII believed that all the future glory Mary would enjoy was already implied in her Immaculate Conception. So it's a big thing. It's a big thing with the saints. It's a big thing with the fathers. It's a big thing with me. It ought to be a big thing with you. So what is the Immaculate Conception? Let's go over a few points on it. I mean, this easily could go on for hours. I do a series on Marian dogmas. The whole series runs about 7 hours, and the Immaculate Conception takes up about 2 of those hours. But we won't do that today. We'll just go over a few points. The dogma of the Immaculate Conception teaches the truth that, quote, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary was, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and by virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, preserved immune from all stain of original sin. It's a very dense sentence. And Pius IX is teaching us at least 3 truths here about the Immaculate Conception of Mary. You know, we're not talking about the virginal conception of Jesus here. A lot of people make that mistake. The virginal conception and birth of Jesus is one thing. We're talking about the Immaculate Conception of Mary, that she was conceived like the rest of us are conceived, with a human mother and a human father. But at the moment of her conception, she was preserved free from the stain of original sin. I mean, there's something very funny about this. She's created and redeemed at the same time. She's created and redeemed at the same moment. That's a singular grace. That's what the dogma is getting at here. That's what Pius IX is teaching. By a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, it's also by virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race. I mean, there are people who think Mary didn't need a Savior. I'll have more to say about that later. But in the way the Catholic Church teaches the dogma, her Savior was Jesus Christ through His work on the cross, through the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race. And so she needed a Savior. Her Savior was Jesus. Thirdly, she was in fact saved from sin in a way that's different from the way the rest of us are saved. But her salvation remained a work of God, not a work of Mary. You see, this is very important to keep in mind, because non-Catholic Christians will often think that Mary didn't need a Savior. Catholics think that she was immaculately conceived, had no original sin, and no actual sin in her lives, then what did she need a Savior for? And in fact, medieval theologians thought about this a good deal. Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men and women, including Mary. And while there are a lot of people out there who would say that if she was conceived without the stain of original sin, then she didn't need a Savior, the Church says, no, 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 no. This is why Thomas Aquinas, it's sometimes said, didn't subscribe to the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. Not quite true. Thomas did believe that Mary was sanctified from her mother's womb. What he didn't buy was the teaching of a particular group of theologians who said that Mary was immaculately conceived by her own virtue. In other words, It wasn't in light of the merits of Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do with the atoning work of Christ. Now, Thomas rightly thought that this compromised the work of Christ, so he rejected the dogma as it was presented by these theologians. No, Jesus is the Savior of all mankind, and Mary has a Savior, but in a different way than we have a Savior. We're saved after Calvary, and she's saved before Calvary. If you think of the cross as kind of this giant tower radiating out grace and salvation, Mary's Immaculate Conception takes place before the cross comes. So she is saved in the radiation of the cross that spreads backwards through history. We're saved afterwards, as that radiation spreads forward in history. We look back at the cross. Mary would look forward to the cross. Now, I'll stay on this point a bit longer. Some Christians object. How can you say she needs a Savior if she never sinned? Well, think about it. We can be saved from as well as saved out of. I love the way Scott Hahn works on this. You know, Scott, when he was a teenager, was involved with drugs and arrested a few times, in trouble with the law. And he was saved, had a great conversion experience, a terrible sinner, born again, now walking with God. When his wife speaks on this subject, she likes to say that she was saved from a life of drugs and alcohol and embezzlement, and Kimberly was saved from a life of prostitution. Because everybody goes crazy because they know that Kimberly was raised in a really upright Presbyterian home, great parents, and that she never fell away from the straight and narrow. Well, we can be delivered out of the pit, or we can be protected and preserved from the pit. Mary is preserved from sin. We're delivered out of sin. And so in this case, you might say Scott was delivered from sin. Kimberly, because of the grace given to her and her family, was preserved from certain types of sins. We all know this. I mean, we know we have friends who have been turned away from pornography and adultery and embezzlement and alcoholism and murderous rage. We have other friends who never developed a taste for this kind of thing. They had a virtuous upbringing. They had some natural self-control. The medieval theologians thought about it this way. You can be saved from a disease by the healing treatment of a doctor. But you can be saved from an illness preventively by following a doctor's advice before you get sick.
We'll return to Al's special presentation on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception here on Cresta in the Afternoon in just a moment.
The giving season is upon us. Give the gift of evangelization this year by purchasing the Michigan Catholic for a friend, loved one, or someone you want to evangelize. This is a present they will appreciate and that will also help them grow in their faith. Visit themichigancatholic.org or call 313-224-8002. That's 313-224-8002 to purchase your subscription today. The Michigan Catholic, your guide for living your faith.
In 1916, Auto Owners Insurance teamed up with local independent agents so customers could get fast, friendly, local service. It worked so well, we decided to keep it that way. And 100 years later, we still do things the same way, by teaming up with local independent agents who deliver quality, personal service.
Thank you.
Some might call that old school. Then again, maybe everything old is new again. Kind of refreshing, isn't it?
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Ann Arbor Smiles has a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. Their goal of service is reflected in evening and Saturday hours. One of their many satisfied patients is Peter Herbeck, host of Fire on the Earth.
From checkups to braces to bridges, the doctors and dentists at Ann Arbor Smiles have given my family courteous, professional, and state-of-the-art dental care, the kind of care I would recommend to anyone in our listening audience.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Anyone can become a member of the Catholic Medical Association. Join one of the 100 guilds nationwide or help develop a new guild in your area. You'll get informative publications with the latest trends in medicine and bioethics and the earliest details about the Catholic Medical Association's 87th Annual Educational Conference coming to Dallas in the fall of 2018. Just click on the membership tab today at cathmed.org. That's cathmed.org.
This ad was sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare.
Christmas should be an exciting time for kids, except for the 2.7 million American children with a parent in prison who often feel forgotten and lonely. That's where Angel Tree comes in. Since 1982, Angel Tree has delivered more than 10 million gifts. This year, with each gift, Angel Tree families will also receive their very own children's Bible and a colorful Christmas storybook about Jesus' birth. Change the life of a child this Christmas. Your generosity enables a child to receive a gift chosen just for them by their incarcerated parent, along with a note to remind them that they are loved and haven't been forgotten. To say thank you, Angel Tree will give you and a friend a compilation album download of some of your favorite artists when you make your donation of $30 or more.
So call now 1-855-253-3120. That's 1-855-253-3120. Or go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Angel Tree banner to make your donation today. Angel Tree is an underwriter of this Ave Maria program.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare costs? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
You're listening to Cresta in the Afternoon. Now back to Al's special presentation on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Now, in Scripture, we see that God selects for special missions. He selects certain people, and it's not uncommon for him to, in some way, set these people apart from their mother's womb. So in Jeremiah's case, we see it. In John the Baptist's case, we see it. In St. Paul's case, we see it. They all say, or were told, that they were set apart from their mother's womb. So since the Blessed Virgin Mary was to play an utterly unique role in salvation history, she would require a sanctification proportionate to her calling. Consequently, Mary was saved from original sin at the moment of her conception. And that's why Gabriel could address her as full of grace. I love this little point. He doesn't address her as Mary. He doesn't say, "Hail Mary, full of grace." We say that in the prayer. Gabriel simply says, "Hail, full of grace." It's as though that becomes a name for her. Just like if you were talking to Abraham, you might say, "Hail, Mr. Promise," you know, the guy who received the great promises of God. Or Moses, "Hey, Mr. Law." Hail, full of grace. Now, why did Mary need to be free of original sin? And again, here it comes back to who Jesus is. God needed to take on a sin-free human nature. And he willed that the second person of the Trinity would have a human mother. He could have, if he wanted to, formed this new Adam out of the dust of the earth like he formed the first Adam. But he wanted continuity with the human race. Didn't want to start it all over again completely. Didn't want to wipe it all out. He wanted to redeem it. And so he forms the new Adam, the last Adam, as St. Paul refers to him in Romans chapter 5. in 1 Corinthians 15. He forms the last Adam in the womb, not of Mother Earth, but in the womb of a human mother. And so the question is, what kind of womb is it going to be? What kind of DNA is going to get passed along here? What kind of human nature is going to be passed along to the Savior? Well, the Savior has to be unblemished. And so in this special work, or what the dogma, as the dogma teaches, that singular privilege, the Blessed Virgin Mary was preserved free from the stain of original sin. And she was able to donate to Jesus that untainted humanity that she had received from God. He gets his unsullied human nature from his mother. So if you want to know, if you wanted to do a personality study of Jesus, you'd really give the Myers-Briggs test to Mary to begin with and get some background. Because his human nature was derived from her. It's really quite amazing when you think of it, that, as Newman said, the eternal Son imbibed. He sucked up her blood and her substance into his divine person. He became man from her. So when the eternal God took on human flesh, it was Mary's flesh that he draped himself in. And this was a body, of course, fit for a king. Unstained, unsullied. God wasn't out there taking inventory of the best breasts and the best wombs and made a little chart and said, well, these look like they'll be fine. These look great over here. What about this womb? What's the size? That's not what he's interested in. He's interested in making sure that in the process of mothering, human nature is passed along to the second person of the Trinity, unstained and untainted by original sin. So the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, like all Marian dogmas, is first of all about Jesus Christ. Now here's another reason why the Immaculate Conception was necessary. Before the coming of Christ, God's holy presence often traumatized those who were exposed to it. Moses, for example, had to take off his sandals to walk on holy ground. You cannot see my face and live, for no one may see me and live. That's what God told Moses. In fact, the people couldn't even come to the base of the mountain, Mount Sinai. They couldn't touch the foot of Mount Sinai during the giving of the law without risking death. The angels, during the visitation of Isaiah, the seraphim cover their eyes when God appears to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, I know you've heard the passage. This is where we get the phrase, holy, holy, holy. It's the only place, by the way, in the Bible where there's a triple attribute made of God. He's never called love, 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 or mercy, 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 or justice, justice, justice. But he is called holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah saw this in the temple. And he's reduced to despair. The seraphim are like this. Isaiah says, woe unto me, for I'm undone. I'm unfinished. I'm unraveled. All those things will work. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. There is a sense of trauma that surrounds the holy, especially in the Old Testament. Isaiah was undone. He was disintegrating. He's in the presence of the high and holy one who inhabits all eternity. His presence is filling the temple, and Isaiah's lips had to be purified by a flaming coal before he could proclaim God's holy word. This is a close encounter of the traumatic kind. In the days of King David, in ancient Israel, they proceed with the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And the Ark of the Covenant was the holiest object in all of Israel. So you had temple workers who had been trained to handle the Ark of the Covenant in a fitting manner. In this one case that we have over in 2 Samuel chapter 6, you have a temple worker named Uzzah. And he's, marching along, everybody's happy, the Ark of the Covenant's coming back to Jerusalem, it's on this ox cart, and I don't know what happens, the oxen hits a pothole or something like that, and Uzzah reaches out to steady the Ark, because he's afraid it's going to fall off and get defiled by hitting the ground. And what does God do? he strikes Uzzah dead. Because Uzzah has been trained that he doesn't touch the holy thing, lest you die. David wasn't real happy about this, just to let you know. If you're not happy about it, David wasn't happy about it either. But God has a way of impressing upon us his holiness. Now, Jesus Christ is that Holy One of all eternity that appeared to Isaiah, that struck down Uzzah. He is the one who is being born. And if you remember from the Gospel of Luke, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. Now, think about what this means. If Isaiah found himself coming psychologically and spiritually unraveled in the presence of the Holy One, if Uzzah was struck dead for touching the Holy Ark of the Covenant, how long would Mary have lasted if this Holy One from all eternity had taken up residence in her sin-stained womb? This woman would not have just expired. She would have evaporated. So Mary becomes a hinge figure in the Immaculate Conception, the formative dogma in the history of holiness and in the history of salvation. Mary is the one who, because of her Immaculate Conception, is a fit instrument for the Holy One of Israel to dwell in, and dwell in a more substantial way than he ever could dwell in the tabernacle or the temple or the Ark of the Covenant. You know, if the Mosaic tabernacle had to be made according to the pattern in heaven, is the way the Scripture puts it, it had to be made perfect according to the pattern in heaven, how much more so Mary, who is the tabernacle of the incarnate Word. So Mary becomes, because of this Immaculate Conception, something of a step-down transformer. I mean, she reduces the power and the trauma of our encounter with the perfect Holy One. So when the God of Moses, when the God of Uzzah, when the God of Isaiah touched down on earth, Mary's womb is where this God lands. And it's in her womb that we overcome the distance and the alienation that separates us from He who is holy. And so as a result of that, after the incarnation, after the Divine One becomes flesh, we can eat His holy food in the Eucharist. We can have His Holy Spirit indwelling us. We don't have to approach God with the same trepidation that the Israelites did when He was thundering from Mount Sinai. And as the one who's received this redemption in its fullness from the moment of her conception, Mary models a grace to us that we really must dwell upon, because she doesn't differ from us because she possesses these gifts of grace. We also possess them. Mary is simply what Eve was before the fall. She's an unfallen woman. And with the exception of concupiscence, Mary is what we are at the moment of our baptism, where the bonds of original sin have been broken. When we think of the Immaculate Conception, we tend to think of it as such an odd thing. But that was God's plan for all of us, to be immaculately conceived without the stain of original sin. It's sin which is the aberration. Human beings were made for this. This is why we were created. We weren't made for sin. We were made for this immaculate purity, this perfection, this ability to communicate with God face to face that we find in Adam and Eve before the fall, in which, of course, we see in the Blessed Mother in Revelation chapter 12 as she's raised to heaven. Mary is so important to us as an ideal disciple. Her life is just rife with lessons in discipleship. I will take just one that I think is worthwhile for us today. We can talk about, you know, her hearing the word of the angel and her quick obedience. That's wonderful, the Annunciation. We can talk about the way she recedes into the background as Jesus' public ministry goes on. She's not there asserting herself. You know, hey, I'm the mother of this guy. Let me tell you what he was like. But you don't see her doing anything like that. There are many ways in which she is a remarkable disciple.
We'll return to Al's special presentation on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception here on Cresta in the Afternoon in just a moment.
Steve Ray here. My wife and I, along with Teresa Tomio, would like to invite you to join us on our new trip, The Saints and Shrines of Italy, starting in Milan in the north, following the Doctors of the Church and Saints. We're going to be 2 days in Assisi, 2 days in San Giovanni Rotondo with Padre Pio, and end up in Rome, and a lot more in between. We hope that you can join us on this life-changing and amazing trip through Italy.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
Looking for affordable Catholic health care? Look no further. CMF Curo is the only Catholic health ministry which provides an established health care program, spiritual growth opportunities within Catholic community, and unique wellness programs and health tools. Plus, it is half the cost of many insurances. Learn more at MyCatholicHealthCare.com or visit CMFCURO.com. CMF Curo. It's my Catholic health care.
Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pink the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and every December, two things happen. First, we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas. And second, the big finish event is happening at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where the prices and payments are literally the lowest of the year on all new Chrysler Pacificas, Jeep Grand Cherokees, Compass, and Renegades, and all Ram pickups. Stop in today or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
A severe drought is creating a malnutrition crisis for more than 35 million people in Africa. Lives are at stake, so please join Cross Catholic Outreach in equipping African priests, nuns, and Catholic ministries with resources to feed these children and families in urgent need. Call 866-765-4280 or visit crosscatholic.org/Africa Famine to make your tax-deductible gift today.
Crest in the Afternoon is brought to you by the nonprofit Freedom and Virtue Institute.
Young people thrive when they learn the value of hard work. The Self-Reliance Clubs are an initiative of the Freedom and Virtue Institute that allows students to work in entrepreneurial activities at their school. Students learn basic economics and earn money for their school expenses. To sponsor a student or to start a Self-Reliance Club at your school, go to fbinstitute.org and click on Support SRC to make your tax-deductible donation. Freedom and Virtue Institute, connecting reward to accomplishment.
Christmas should be an exciting time for kids, except for the 2.7 million American children with a parent in prison who often feel forgotten and lonely. That's where Angel Tree comes in. Since 1982, Angel Tree has delivered more than 10 million gifts. This year, with each gift, Angel Tree families will also receive their very own children's Bible and a colorful Christmas storybook about Jesus' birth. Change the life of a child this Christmas. Your generosity enables a child to receive a gift chosen just for them by their incarcerated parent, along with a note to remind them that they are loved and haven't been forgotten. To say thank you, Angel Tree will give you and a friend a compilation album download of some of your favorite artists when you make your donation of $30 or more.
So call now 1-855-253-3120. That's 1-855-253-3120. Or go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Angel Tree banner to make your donation today. Angel Tree is an underwriter of this Ave Maria program.
Light of the East, weekend on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, while the Eastern and Western expressions of the Church have their own respective identities, there are points of convergence between them. One such place is the event and icon of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
Listening to Cresta in the Afternoon. Now back to Al's special presentation on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
We have the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. It's a feast that we commemorate on September 15th. And if you remember, Simeon warned that Mary's son would be destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then he said, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. So from the beginning, Mary knew suffering was going to be her lot. 30 years later, she stood, she didn't swoon, she stood at the foot of the cross, witnessing the death of her son. The son is condemned as a common criminal. And suffering had marked the life of Mary in a pretty significant way. I love the pictures of the Madonna that we have. You know, she looks so chaste, beautiful, kind of above it, very restful and serene. But that doesn't tell the whole story of the Blessed Virgin. Think about it. She's a problem pregnancy, right? There's no room at the inn. She's got a flight into Egypt. She's got a son who, in a sense, at one point, is a bit of a runaway. He's got his family thinks of him as deranged, mentally unstable. And then he dies as a common criminal. I mean, I hope this is not going to be the experience of you mothers. Here was a mother whose son had so much original promise. And yet at the moment of crucifixion, he had so little to show for it. All the followers had run away, except his mother and John, who in likelihood was some form of cousin to Jesus. So when the centurion thrust his spear into Christ's side, a sword pierced Mary's side as well. She was asked to endure the death, not only of her son, but the death of a vision. And we don't know what her Gethsemane experience was, but you can rest assured she had some type of Gethsemane experience, because we know from the text that she was a very reflective woman. She's the one who ponders these things and meditates upon them in her heart. So what was that like for her? To see the son that was conceived in such a remarkable manner, having his life snuffed out, apparently for no good reason. She must have felt the temptation of doubt and unbelief nipping at her heels. I mean, that's what happens when promises go unfulfilled. You think of the life of Abraham and the trouble the sin he fell into as a result of falling away from trusting the promises of God. You know, when we think of the Immaculate Conception and we think of the Blessed Mother being full of grace, it doesn't mean she wasn't tempted by sin. What it means is that she was able to overcome temptation by the grace of God. And she overcame this temptation, I'm convinced, through suffering. I know there are people who would like to say she never really felt the force of temptation. Because after all, Jesus and Mary are both born without original sin and concupiscence. They don't have that same downward pulling, the lust that we feel. And so people then say, well, I mean, if they didn't have that, they couldn't feel the full force of temptation. You know, Adam and Eve, by the way, would love to talk to them about this. Because Adam and Eve were conceived without concupiscence and without original sin. And they felt the full force of temptation, and, you know, we're all still paying for it. I mean, these are people who had clear and friendly access to God at all times, but they succumbed to sin. Nobody in history feels the force of temptation like someone who is sinless. I mean, because a person who doesn't sin is the person who feels the full power of temptation without rolling over, without allowing it to master him. C.S. Lewis uses the illustration of this. You don't feel the full force of the German army when you lay down your arms and surrender. It's when you fight to the finish with all your power. It's when you finally overcome that force. It's in fighting to the finish and overcoming that you begin to feel the full force of temptation. It's the person who is victorious who knows the full force of temptation. So she suffers. She suffers as the new Eve. She, through her obedience in the face of all these temptations, unties the knot that Eve had bungled up for us. And yet now the Blessed Mother knows that each of us are still knotted up. She knows us as her children and like a good mother. She doesn't always intervene at times we think would be convenient to solve our problems. I had a problem. It's called flesh-eating bacteria. Mark Twain said, I've suffered many things in my life, none of which have happened. In this case, I've suffered many things in my life, and one of the things I never dreamed of suffering was becoming an amputee. Never thought of flesh-eating bacteria. It was just too exotic. There are many lessons, of course, that I would learn through this, but I want to tell you about one, because it makes the point that we think that God should intervene, and that we have our times when we think he should intervene. And we call upon the Blessed Mother to intercede with us and to be a powerful prayer warrior with us. And yet maybe something doesn't happen. Or maybe what happens is even worse than what was happening. When I was in the hospital, I lost my leg. The prayers of God's people were poured out, and I was buoyed up and really doing quite well psychologically and spiritually, given all that I'd been through. I felt very much like the fellow in Mark chapter 2, you know, the paralytic who had been lowered down by his friends into the presence of Jesus. In my case, I was already flat out, and I was being raised up by my friends into the presence of Jesus. And that remains to this day. I still feel buoyancy about this experience, a positiveness about it. But while I was going through it in the hospital, there were many strange things. I went through 5 surgeries, and not everybody knows that. And at one point, I had gone through 4. This was, and we were trying the final surgery. And I had been praying. I've been trying to join my sufferings to Christ for the sake of his body, the church. I called upon the saints and the Blessed Virgin to join their prayers with mine. And the doctors come in and they say, you know, Al, we have to go back in and do another operation. It's infected. And I'm thinking, oh, infection. I mean, could it be the bacteria reasserting itself? Maybe. Well, could it be just a garden variety infection? You know, people get, I mean, hospitals are sick places. You know, people get sick in hospitals. Maybe it's just garden variety infection. Maybe. They were not helpful at all in helping me orient to this. So I'm on the gurney on my way into the emergency room. And I'm talking to the Lord, and I'm saying, you know, I'm really glad to be alive, and I'm glad for all the support I've had. But, you know, I thought I learned this lesson that you're teaching me, this kind of releasing my life to you and entering more deeply into a quiet, setting aside ambitions, learning to rest in your grace. I thought I'd learned all this. And I thought I did pretty good, in fact, God. I mean, I'm laying there and pushing. I remember him saying to me very distinctly, he said, Al, you've done pretty well. But you need to understand that this is not about a lesson learned. It's not about even a trial endured. It's about a life lived. And at that point, I realized that what he was saying is what the Blessed Virgin must have been experiencing. In a way, always living on the edge, knowing you don't control the outcomes of history. I couldn't control what the surgeon was going to do. They wouldn't even tell me what this infection was about. And I can think of the Blessed Virgin Mary, knowing that her son was conceived in an utterly miraculous way, and pondering these things in her heart, and still trying to figure out exactly what's the plan here. 30 years, he's home with his mom and dad, and all of a sudden, you know, we're at this wedding feast, and I know he can do things, and I ask him to make wine, and he gives me a hard time. And then he complies anyways. And now he's launched off on a public ministry. Some people like him, some people don't like him. He's got, you know, this kind of ragtag group of apostles surrounding him. He's got a number of women who are supporting him. He doesn't have a good job. You know, he's just running around preaching. So what's supposed to happen here? Where is he going in the long run? You think about that, and you get to the cross, and his life is ended. And I can hear her saying to God, you know, I thought this was going to be Messiah. I'm a good Jewish girl. I expected Messiah. You gave me Messiah. And this is Messiah? Life didn't turn out the way she thought it was going to turn out. And yet she was full of grace. For us, I think that we have to learn from Mary to shake off the security blanket of the way things ought to be and have to deal with the way things are. And we see that God asked a lot of Mary, more than she asked, I think, of any other person, more than she asked of Abraham, even. And she learned obedience through this kind of suffering. Catholics don't make so much of Mary. In many ways, we don't make enough of her. When you think about it, she is a key player in all the saving events of the New Testament. She's there at the Annunciation. She's there at the conception of Jesus. She's there at his birth. She's there at his dedication. She's there teaching him how to read and write and study the Hebrew Scriptures. She's there when he runs off to his father's house and gives her a heart attack. She's there when he launches his public ministry in John chapter 2 at the wedding feast in Cana, where she, in fact, induces him to perform his first public miracle. She's there during his public ministry, but in the background, rightfully so. She's there at the foot of the cross. She's there at the empty tomb. She's there at the day of Pentecost when the church is established. And she's there in Revelation chapter 12, assumed bodily in heaven as the mother of Messiah. The scripture is just rich with Marian teaching and illusion. Catholics over the last generation, I think in many ways, have been made to feel embarrassed by the Blessed Mother, thinking that she's some sort of unnecessary appendage to Jesus. You know, if you really like Jesus a lot, you like his mom too. Well, that's fine. That's a good place to begin. But her role in salvation history is so much more. And so we make so much of Mary because she figures so prominently in those key saving events of the New Covenant. She is the one who, at this moment in history, is interceding on our behalf. She's not only the mother of Jesus, she's the mother of his body, the church. In Mary, the church admires and extols the most excellent fruit of the redemption, and in her, as in a most pure mirror, the church contemplates with joy which she herself desires and hopes to be. So in looking at the Blessed Virgin Mary, we see somebody who is thoroughly human, who's been fully redeemed. She experiences in the bodily assumption what we will experience in the resurrection. She experiences in the Immaculate Conception what we can experience in virtue of our own baptism. So remember, at the time we were born again, the bonds of original sin were broke. Christ began to be formed in us, just like he was formed in Mary. God shed his love abroad in our hearts. God's indelible seal was imprinted on our souls. We were redeemed, we were saved, we were made a holy temple for a holy God. And that triune God came and took residence within us and began indwelling his temple. We were anointed, we were filled with light, life, and the love of God. And that's the Blessed Virgin, the surprise to all that Mary was.
We'll return for some final thoughts from Al on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception after this break here on Cresta in the Afternoon.
Finding a doctor who respects your faith can be hard. Consider Emmaus Health, providing primary care and mental health services for the entire family. Now, in conjunction with St. Joseph Mercy Health System, Emmaus is proud to introduce Dr. Steve Hickner, an OBGYN who is NAPRO-trained to manage infertility. Call 734-930-4020. Visit our website at emmaushealth.org or come visit us at Domino's Farms Lobby L. Faith-inspired, dignity-affirming health care. Emmaus Health.
Arise in me and I shall rise with you.
Nationally known singer and storyteller Val Lamar Janton is coming to Sacred Heart Parish in Dearborn for a performance Sunday, December 10th at 6 p.m. This will be an Advent evening of song and storytelling that will be sure to inspire and uplift you. Tickets are just $10 per person and are available from the parish office and also at the door. For more details, call 313-278-5555 or visit shparish.org.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you.
Cresta. It's been good being with you over the last hour, focusing on Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. Most of the Eastern and Western fathers throughout, you know, the first seven centuries of the Church taught that Mary was always free from any personal sin, and even the slightest. But it's not clear whether they intended to exempt her from original sin. So this was a question, a theological dispute that went on in the Church for a long time. Even St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, they were great devotees of the Blessed Mother, but they were unable to accept as a revealed item of faith her Immaculate Conception. And the reason for it was that it seemed that it would exempt Mary from being redemed. I mean, if she's free from original sin, then why does she have need of a redemption? So John Duns Scotus was the man mainly responsible for introducing the idea that she was preserved free of original sin. And so consequently, having been preserved free, how did God do that? He did it in view of the merits of Christ. And so the power of the cross was applied retroactively, if you want to put it that way, retrospectively, to the conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'm Al Cresta.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. The executive producer is Nick Tom. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts. Questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
For this Advent season, as we anticipate the birth of Jesus, Father Ricardo has prepared an exercise in critical thinking regarding our faith in Jesus. He explains how it's easier to believe than not believe just based on the preponderance of evidence surrounding our belief in Christ. Father Ricardo's title is Reasons to Believe. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday.